and welcome to today's broadcast of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Thursday, September the 24th of 2015. I pray that you've had a blessed weekend and blessed week, rather, and that the remainder of your week continues to be blessed as well. We're about to go into Friday, and so I pray that you just that you're worshiping in God, that you're studying your word, of course, listening to these broadcasts. And if you don't know all the times that I am on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. These broadcasts are also posted. The YouTube version is posted on my website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. And also, you can listen via Blog Talk Radio. Now, in the event that you do not hear it clearly on Blog Talk Radio, again, you can always go to YouTube and listen to me. If you're following me on YouTube, I pray that you're a subscriber on YouTube. You can subscribe to me under KL Rich Ministry. I'm sorry, that's Evangelist KL Rich on YouTube. That's Evangelist KL Rich. Or you can follow me again on Facebook. You can do both, actually, up under KL Rich Ministries on Facebook. You can also just go straight to my website and you can follow me and subscribe to YouTube on there up under klrichministries.com. Again, it's www.klrichministries.com. Now, if these broadcasts were a blessing to you, we do need your financial support as any other ministry. And we would like to encourage you to support our ministry. And you can do so up under my website at www.klrichministries.com and click on the donate button, and it will take you straight to PayPal where you can donate securely from there. All right, we have a ton of headlines, but before we get into those headlines, please keep in prayer those Christians who are being persecuted all across the world. And we want to pray for Pastor Saeed. Now, his wife, he's in Iranian prison. He's a pastor, and we always mention him on the broadcast. His wife, they're holding a vigil for him on Saturday. And if you want more information about that, you can go to saeedvigil.com. That's Saeed, S-A-E-E-D, vigil.com, and get more information. That vigil is going to be held on Saturday. They're still trying to work for his release. And as we know, our administration did not orchestrate a release prior to signing the Iranian deal for him, along with others. I believe it's three other Americans that's in an Iranian prison. And so we want to still keep them lifted up in prayer that God will answer and release these people from prison. Our other Christian brothers and sisters who are being killed and persecuted, women and children who are being sold into sex trafficking, we want to keep them lifted up in prayer. Also, the ones who are being persecuted here in the United States, Kim Davis, you know, the trials that she's going through, judges who are having to make a decision for us not marrying gay people. This is going all across the nation, and there's an attack on Christianity now. As you know, the Pope is here, and we're going to get into some things about this Pope, that people are so deceived, and he's deceiving the masses along with Obama, and so we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. All right, again, you can visit me on my website at www.klrichministries.com, and you can listen to previous ministry broadcasts as well as get books for your entire family. And if you would like to donate to the cause of this ministry, you can also press on the donate button, and it will take you securely to PayPal. All right. We have a ton of headlines that we are going to go through, and we're going to, of course, go to the Word of God, but we have some things that is just taking place, and we're seeing prophecy fulfilled right before our very eyes. More than 300 killed in Sandy Hodge stampede. And at least 300, well, actually it's more than that now, but over 300, I believe the last count I saw was like 400, over 400 pilgrims killed, more than 400 injured in a crash at Mina outside Mecca, Saudi Civil Defense reports. Now, as we know, Mecca is the Muslims' holy city, like Jerusalem is for the Israelis, okay? And so this is, I'm going to go ahead and read this article, and it says at least 310, but that report has been up. People have been killed in a stampede at the annual Hajj pilgrimage. Saudi Arabia Civil Defense Directorate said. The Directorate said that at least 450 other pilgrims were injured in Thursday's stampede, which took place in Mina on the outskirts of the holy city of Mecca. The injured have been evacuated to four different hospitals in Mina region, according to the Civil Defense spokesman. Mina is where pilgrims carry out a symbolic stoning of the devil by throwing pebbles against three stone walls. It also houses more than 160,000 tents where pilgrims spend the night during the pilgrimage. Okay, so this is saying that they do this ritual of symbolically throwing stones at the devil. Now, as we know, Islamic religion is of the devil. So the devil cannot be divided against himself. You know, he cannot stand. That's what Jesus said. Okay, but the thing is that they're thinking they're throwing stones at the devil, but they're actually worshiping the devil because it's this religion of Islam is of the devil. Make no mistakes about it. It is of the devil, okay? We know it's not of God. We know that the Allah that they're worshiping is not the true God. And so, therefore, everything about this religion, including their holy book, the Quran, is of the devil himself, okay? So, let's make no mistake about that. I know people try to be politically correct and tolerant of our religions. This religion is of the devil, okay? We just got to call it as it is. Now, they consider themselves stoning the devil, but see, it seemed like the devil got a bunch of sacrifices from this ritual that they were doing. 400 and something people were killed, so he got some blood sacrifice from these people who were doing. See, you can't play with the devil. You can't play with the devil, because he'll show you every time. Yeah, so it's dangerous you when you're playing on the devil's turf. So the devil like, okay, y'all doing this satanic ritual. You know, they thinking they stoning the devil. No, he got you. He got you. That's what it is. He got you already. So he like, he going to show his power. And so that's why you have 400 people dead. This happened, a large number of people, I believe in 2006, this was done again. Now they're saying that it's due to the street, I guess, being too small and all of that, and the stampede. No, this is the devil. And this is what he does best, to kill, steal, and destroy. All right. So those people who were stoning the devil, who got stampede on, they weren't worshiping God. So if they weren't worshiping Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, then where is their soul going to be? In an eternal lake of fire. Moving on, Clockmaster Ahmad Mohammed's sister was once suspended from school for threatening to blow it up. Clockman's sister told MSNBC, "I got suspended from school for 3 days from this stupid same district from this girl saying I wanted to blow up the school, something I had nothing to do with." So now we find this is a pattern with this belligerent Muslim family. They have experience with threats to the school. Ahmad said that he thought the project might look like a threat and suspicious. Ahmad first showed the clock to a male teacher. This teacher told him not to show it to anyone else. The 14-year-old All-American schoolboy clockmaker, who didn't make a clock at all and is the son of a belligerent Muslim activist and perennial Sudanese presidential candidate whose brother runs a trucking company, amusingly called Twin Towers Transportation. Okay, so he calls his trucking company Twin Towers Transportation. This sounds that's very interesting. Why would you name your trucking company Twin Towers Transportation? It's like you paying homage to all the ones who got killed. Now, if this sister of his had already, there was already an issue about the clock, about a threat that she supposedly had made, why would you make, see, this was planned. They knew this was going to create a stir, and so therefore they did it, and it got what they really wanted. They already knew. No, there's no way that they didn't know that boy with this clock was not going to create an uproar. Well, I mean, come on now. We see that bombs are and terrorists are already strapping bombs to themselves, and they're even using children to do it. So why wouldn't anybody be suspicious of this young man bringing a clock that looks more like a bomb that's being disabled on CSI or something? Why wouldn't they be suspicious about this? And then this family has this history of provoking the school district, the sister, and come on now, this was all planned, and our idiot government played into it. Although, you know what, Obama is actually an enemy of the state anyway, so I guess it fit right in. Of course he would invite this Muslim boy there, because it fits right in with what he's for. Moving on. New York Times tries to blame Jews for opposition to Iran deal. The New York Times is under fire for attempting to blame opposition to President Obama's Iran deal on the Jews. The newspaper published a chart showing Democratic members of Congress opposed to the deal, which of whose names were Jewish, and the percentage of Jewish residents in either home states or districts. Times staffers appear to be implying that those members of Congress were putting either their Jewish faith or Israel ahead of America because they opposed President Obama. Okay, let me stop right there. So the New York Times decided to list the names of the people who was opposed to the Iranian deal, those who were Democrats, and to make them look bad, to say that they're the fault because they're putting their Jewish. Let me tell you something, and this is for any Jewish American that's here. Always put Israel first. Always put Israel first. Forget America. Always put Israel first. Okay? That is God's land. God gave the Jews that land. Always put Israel first. Now, this is not above God. God comes first. But if it comes between Israel and America, always put Israel first. And you are not obligated to side with Obama. Obama does not have even America's best interests at heart. So, therefore, do not side against Israel because you're trying to appease America. Israel is promised to the Jews. Israel was that's the, you know, the, your descendant, your ancestors, Abraham. Israel is the blessing from God, and therefore, do you have to choose between America and Israel? Israel comes first. And furthermore, that was a horrible deal he made with Iran. I mean, the New York Times, along with a lot of these other major news, organizations, they are government owned. So it's government propaganda. You're going to see a lot of that. A lot of people don't understand that when you're listening to MSNBC, ABC, all these different government-owned, government-controlled news stations, they tell you what they want. They put it in the paper what they want. They try to influence the public. And this is what's going on here. This is nothing more than propaganda. This is something to shame those who were not for the Iran deal. There's no shame. There's no need to be ashamed. It was a horrible deal. It is a horrible deal. And America will pay for that deal. And not in the way that they think. Moving on. Waves of California economic and medical refugees began moving to Texas in search of freedom. As reported by Natural News, as the state of California becomes less free, more expensive, and harder to sustain, thousands of residents are voting with their feet for freer, cheaper environments that come with greater opportunities. Texas is the biggest recipient of that outflow. The Washington Times reports that a recent analysis found that the number of California residents fleeing the state are unprecedented, and that Texas is the greatest destination by far. About 5 million Californians departed the Golden State between 2004 and 2013, while 3.9 million arrived from other states for a net population loss of roughly 1.1 million. That amounts to an estimated loss in tax revenue of about $26 billion annually, according to analysis by the Sacramento Bee. Using tax return data from the IRS, the analysis found that about 600,000 former California residents made their way to Texas, while about 348,000 Texas residents moved to California. Other top residents of former California residents included Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington. Okay, so basically you got this shift of migration. And I believe I spoke on this a while ago, where right now you got wildfires that's threatening the homes and have destroyed some homes of Californians. You have them with saying they have less than a year supply of water left because there's no rain. You have vaccinate your children without your consent by passing bills saying that all children must be vaccinated. So this is calling on a push, and then the high cost of living in California. So this is why a lot are moving towards different states, and such as Texas. And then you have the threat of there being a massive earthquake beyond proportions. Okay, so again, this is not a time to actually probably be moving to California at all because of all the things that's taking place on the land. All right, moving on. U.S. blocking Russian proposal to sanction ISIL via UNSC. The United States is blocking Russia's proposal to include the Islamic State on the UN Security Council sanctions list as an independent organization. Head of the Russian Foreign Ministry Department for New Challenges and Threats, Ilya Rakhchev, said on Thursday. The Russian foreign minister official said that ISIL is outlined in the UN Security Council sanctions list as one of the names of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. While it is no secret that the Islamic State is an independent structure acting as a rival of Al-Qaeda. It goes on to say, it is no secret that the Islamic State is an independent structure acting to a certain extent as a rival of Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, it is outlined in the UN Security Council sanction list as one of the names of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. We have proposed to include the Islamic State as an independent organization, but our proposals are being blocked by Western members of the Security Council, especially the United States of America, under various pretexts. Okay, I have a question about that. Now, if the U.S. is supposedly have this war on terror, if the U.S. is supposed to be trying to stop ISIS from all the killings and destroy ISIS, why is it that the IRS is blocking every single attempt there is to get rid of this demonic organization. Could it be because the U.S. has funded this organization, that they're using the organization for their own benefit? Could it be that is why they are blocking every single attempt of, if it's Russia or whoever, to get rid of this organization? Now, this is coming from Sputnik News, and so this is a Russian newspaper that's saying that the U.S. is trying to block them from being able to do what they actually need to be doing, and that is to eliminate this terrorist organization. And so, you know, the thing is, it's sad when the U.S., the United States of America, has sunk so low that they would rather have a terrorist group. It's crazy. It's crazy. But then they act like, oh, well, we have a war on terror, and we're trying to defeat ISIS. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because the thing is, if the United States had wanted to defeat ISIS, they could have defeated them a long time ago. But instead of them doing what they were supposed to be doing, what they did was they did a little few bombs here, a few bombs there. But then they gave them some weapons. Okay, they were never trying to really defeat ISIS. Okay, they gave them two shipments of weapons, and they said, "Oh, it was an accident. Oh, we didn't try to do it." Well, how is it that you accidentally? So the military, as I've said before, the military is not that incompetent where they don't know where they're dropping the weapons to. That was done deliberately. Now, you can say, okay, one time is a mistake. Twice? No, that was no mistake. This was done deliberately. Okay, so again, ISIS, the United States is behind ISIS, ISIL, whatever. They alternate with their names. So whether it's Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ICE, ISIL, whatever you want to call it, they're playing name games. This was going, well, we're not going to call them ISIS. They're ISIL. Oh, we're not going to call them ISIL. They're ICE. You know, they're trying to confuse people. Regardless, they're terrorists. Let's just put it like that. They're Islamic terrorists. Okay, and when our government has had a problem with putting those two together in the same sentence, they are Islamic terrorists. Moving on. Russia's Black Sea Fleet flagship leaves Crimea for drills in Mediterranean. The Russian Black Sea Fleet flagship, Moskva, left the city of Sevastopol for the Turkish Straits to take part in drills in the Mediterranean. The country's defense minister said in a news release issued on Thursday. The warship would take part in a planned exercise on the eastern Mediterranean as part of a permanent Russian Navy tactical group. The crews of Russian ships will practice the organization of anti-submarine, anti-aircraft, and anti-ship defense, search and rescue missions, as well as communication training and assistance to the crews of ships and aircraft in distress at sea, the news release said. Okay, so again, as we've been talking about over time, is that all nations seem to be preparing for war. I believe, yesterday we spoke about two ships, if I'm correct, being sold from France to Egypt. I believe it was Egypt that were made by Russia. So everyone is in arms. Everyone's preparing for war. And the funny thing is, our military, they act like they're preparing for war, but then they're actually decreasing our military within the next 2 years by 40,000 while they're trying to allow transgenders to enter the ranks by December. So increasing the transies, decreasing the rest. Come on now. So you on the weekend, you have your heels and pumps, and you, I guess you can wear, if you identify with a woman as a woman, then you can be in the women's boot camp. And come on now, this is just insane. really insane where our government has gone, how low they have gone. All right, listen to this now. Controversial South Park episode shows Donald Trump being raped and murdered. Show attacks tycoon's run for president, his immigration policies, and then kills him off in the shocking final scene. What in the world? Now, if you don't know what South Park is, South Park is one of them adult cartoons. I can't think of the name of what you consider these adult cartoons, like on Cartoon Network. But basically, it's an adult cartoon that children have no business watching, and adults shouldn't watch this garbage either because it's a mess. Okay, South Park is not a cartoon that anybody should be watching with any type of morale. Okay, it's just nonsense. Okay, but I believe South Park was South Park was the one that I believe I reported on this some months ago, that they were mocking Jesus. Had an episode where they were de-virginizing Jesus on there. I mean, totally blasphemy. Okay, so this is according to the Daily Mail. South Park launched vicious attacks on Trump and his election policies. Show character Mr. Garrison pledging to used F word illegal immigrants to death. Promise is in reference to Trump's real world zero tolerance approach. Also brands Trump a brash curse word and a joke that got out of hand. Garrison also pledges to build a wall between the U.S. and Canada, but when Canada beats him to it, he travels into the country before carrying out his sick rape threat on Trump himself. So it says Donald Trump was on the receiving end of a vicious takedown by South Park on Wednesday evening, which skirted the border of decency and taste and arguably crossed them. In an almost unprecedented attack on the running presidential candidate, the adult cartoon lampooned the Republican, and in a shocking finale showed the billionaire businessman being brutally raped to death. You have some sick, sick people. And this satirical cartoon was created by Trey Parker and Matt Stone. So I'm not endorsing any politician at this point, you know, because first of all, I don't believe that America will ever come back, okay? America's not coming back as a nation. I don't believe that there's any politician who can do anything to turn America back. The only way America would change is through God. But the thing is, because America has turned away from God, then we can expect that, you know, America would not return back as the nation that she once was. So does it matter who's in office? No, it doesn't. Not at this point. When the United States decide to legalize gay marriage, when the United States decided that they were going to, they right now it's not even certain about Planned Parenthood being defunded. Now we know that the Republicans, they did pass where they were going to not supply them with government money anymore. However, is it going to stay that way? Is Obama going to use his pen, which he loves to use, to make sure that Planned Parenthood stays in business as they're selling baby parts, like you're selling a part at an AutoZone store or something? Okay, so America has a lot to pay for, and even with the Pope's visit, who did he have? A gay bishop and a transy? I mean, come on now. This stuff is just out of hand. It seems like Obama's only agenda is to promote the gays, and it makes you, hey, he must be, something's going on right there, because we have never had a president that everything was about the gay, LGBT, 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 okay? But as I told you before, I believe it's more to it. I believe it's demonic what is actually going on with this president, because There's no other president who has made LGBT their top priority. There's other things that's a top priority for us, helping vets that don't get their benefits, helping the poor, doing other things, you know. Now, I know because the Pope here, oh, well, we have the poor, but that's a demonic agenda, too. They'll use something that's supposed to be for good and turn it evil. All right, so again, that cartoon on Cartoon Network, South Park, is demonic. It's not of God at all. Moving on. Miami priest to Pope Francis. Why condemn capitalism so strongly but not communism? Now, I would say that's a good question. So it seems like this Pope, and basically he's doing it because they're trying to promote this Marxist society, one world government, one world religion, peace for all. There would not be any peace. So while people are calling him a peacemaker, the Prince of Peace, there is no such thing as peace in this world. Jesus did not come to bring peace, but the sword. And he said that himself, okay? And the thing is, because the Bible is going to be fulfilled. So will there ever be peace? No, there will not. And for those who are listening to this Pope tell them that it's going to be peace on earth, there will never be peace on earth until Jesus comes back. So you, if you're deceived and you know you got the hype where he's a Prince of Peace, he's not a Prince of Peace at all. If you're thinking, oh, he's the Holy Father, as the President Obama was saying, he's the Holy Father. There's no one holy and Father. No, we only have one Holy Father, and that's God Himself. Okay, we do not have anyone that we're supposed to call here on earth as the Holy Father. Okay, is he a Christian? No, he is not. He is of the devil himself. And as you had Obama reading all this garbage, talking about Jesus and the principles, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. If he knew who Jesus is, he wouldn't be endorsing homosexuality. If he knew who Jesus was, he wouldn't be endorsing gay marriage, okay? So a lot of this stuff that Obama was reading the other day in his message with the Pope, it's a bunch of mess. That's all it is a bunch of mess. It's holiness. There's nothing holy about the Pope. You know, actually, there's an unholy alliance between him, the UN, and President Obama. It's an unholy alliance. Okay, but we're going to read this article. It says, prominent Cuban American priest, Father Alberto Corcuti, questions Pope Francis' apparently warm attitude toward the Castro dictatorship during his visit to Cuba this week, asking a Miami column, why do you so strongly condemn capitalism, but we never hear an equal condemnation of atheist communism? So he condemns capitalism, but he doesn't condemn communism. And he just went to Cuba, who is a communist country, and you don't hear him say anything with regards to communism. Okay, why? Because this Pope, he believes in spreading the wealth, redistribution of wealth, Marxism, communism, socialism, basically one and the same. You don't own anything. It's publicly owned. It's not. And that's never the way it was supposed to be. Okay, so that's what this Pope is talking about. I'm sorry, this priest is talking about right here. Okay, so I went to the Wikipedia dictionary to give you a definition of what socialism is, and so socialism is, I wanted to get that to you. Socialism is a political and economic theory of social organization that advocates the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community as a whole. So basically, you don't own your house, it's everybody's house. You don't own your children, they're everybody's children. We heard Hillary Clinton said that. People got to get away from the idea that their children belong to them. They belong to communities. No, they don't. They belong to the parents who God gave them to. And then the community is just a part of the extension of that. They do not belong to the community. Okay, we have some ungodly people in communities. No, they don't. They belong to the parents who God gave them to. First, they belong to Him. Then God gave them to the parents, and the parents are responsible for raising the children, not the whole community. Okay. Now, as a synonym of that definition, what do we have? Communism. This is the synonym. Marxism. Labor movement. Okay, so then when I pulled up communism, it says a political theory derived from Karl Marx, advocating class war and leading to a society in which all property is publicly owned and each person works and is paid according to their abilities and needs. So basically, it's like a community welfare system. If you're a doctor, you shouldn't make 100+ thousand a year, even though you're a doctor. Everybody should be on the same pay level. No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. Just like you had these people advocating, oh, we need $15 an hour at a minimum wage job. But then they found out it wound up hurting them in the long run because some of them was getting welfare benefits. And that meant that when their pay went up, then their welfare benefits went down. And so, come on now. If you're wanting free things, you got to pay for it, okay? So the thing is, this communist, this spread the wealth, this redistribution, take away from the rich, give to the poor type thing. Now, this is not to say that we're not supposed to help the poor, but the church is supposed to help the poor. That's our job as the church, the body of Christ. We're supposed to help those in need, but it's not supposed to be like a socialist society. Moving on, the heavens open, spectacular sunrise over the Capitol hours before the Pope arrives for historic speech that has both Republicans and Democrats bracing for a lecture. Come on now. Now they thinking, the heavens opened up. Now listen to this. Pope Francis will become the first pontiff ever to address Congress. The speech is scheduled for 9:20 a.m. at the U.S. Capitol. 50,000 people are expected to watch the Pope's speech on screens at the West Lawn inside, and the Pope's audience will include more than 500 lawmakers, Supreme Court justices, and top Obama administration officials. Francis will finish up his visit to D.C. today with a visit to St. Patrick's Church and Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Washington. At 4 p.m., he is scheduled to leave D.C. and fly to New York, where he will hold an evening prayer at St. Patrick's Cathedral. Now, this goes on to say, as the sun rose on the second day of the Pope's American tour, the skies above the Capitol building were painted shades of pink and blue, like something out of a Renaissance painting. It was a pretty sight for the thousands who began gathering before dawn on the west lawn of the Capitol to see the Pope, who on Thursday will become the first ever pontiff to address Congress. Now, I want to go to something, and we studied on this yesterday and in the book of Revelation, but I want to go back to the book of Revelation real quickly, and Revelation chapter 13. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 11 because you need to see people like, oh, the heavens were open over the Capitol. First of all, God wasn't giving no thumbs up. The Capitol just stuck their nose at God when they had the rainbow colors celebrating the Supreme Court's decision when it came to gay marriage. Okay, so God was not celebrating the Capitol because the Pope was there, and people gonna say, oh, we got God's approval, look at the sky and how beautiful. Oh, that's God letting us know that he's pleased. Let me tell you something. Let me go to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, and it says, when I saw another beast, this other beast is the second beast. The first beast was the government system of the Antichrist. beast, and this is the second beast, who is the false prophet. When I saw another beast coming out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, okay? So he appeared like a lamb, but he spoke of the dragon. The dragon, as we know, is the devil. He exercised authority of the first, he exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf. So he was given authority from this beast system, this government, now listen to this, the government system, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. Now this beast, this false prophet, has the world worshiping the beast system, the government. What is the what is Pope Francis doing? He's coming to address Congress. He's going to be addressing, I believe he's supposed to be addressing the United Nations, if I'm correct. Okay, let's go on. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in view of men. So he performed a miracle, and everybody's, oh, look at the miracle. Okay, and it says, because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, who is the government, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, so you have a deception that's going on here in Revelation. And right now, you got a deception that's going on. Everybody, oh, Holy Father, the Pope, and our Father, and they goo-goo gaga over this Pope that's here. And he's a mouthpiece for the beast, which is the beast system. He's speaking to what the United Nations want him to tell the world. Is that, see, the United Nations just came out with the 2030 agenda. We went over that a couple of days ago with the 2030 agenda, sustainable development. And they have it up under trying to help the poor, trying to help the needy, trying to eradicate all of this and everything. If you don't have your eyes open, this is opening things up for this one world government. So you have the United Nations, peace, harmony, helping the poor, helping people that to get out of poverty and vaccinations and all of this. And then you got the Pope helping the poor, helping build equality. Come on now. Can you say first beast? Government, Antichrist system, United Nations, possibly that's trying to build up this one world government, and the Pope, false prophet, that's he's going to bring the people together, help the poor, allow the illegals to come in, allow the refugees. This is what Jesus told us to do. Yes, Jesus told us to help people, but Jesus didn't say allow demons into your borders, okay? And that's what's going on. You got a lot of demons in the borders. Now, somebody said something on Facebook that I found to be pretty profound and thought it was very interesting. And they said, if the Pope is so into helping humankind, helping all these refugees, why is it that they're not allowing refugees to flood the Vatican? That's a good question. That's a good question. Now, as I understand, I think they took in one family. Let me tell you something. You're telling nations to take in thousands of refugees into their borders. The Pope even said that there was an article that if the United States churches don't help the refugees, that they should, their tax status should be taken away. Come on now. Come on. Who is he to tell the body of Christ? He doesn't represent all the churches. He doesn't represent me. I pray he doesn't represent you. Who do he think he's representing? Take away their tax status? Now, I'm not saying, you know, see, that's what happens when you get in bed with the devil. See, this tax status, this tax exempt status that these churches have, you what they really don't understand is that when you don't play with the government the way they want you to play ball, they will take your ball from you. So when the churches in 1894, when they decide to do this tax exempt status and say, oh, well, you don't have to pay taxes as long as you don't say anything political and all. Okay. No, what it did was to quiet you down and shut you up. And therefore, if you don't play the way that they want to play, oh, we got this over your head. We're going to take your tax exempt status. See, you can't make deals with the devil. He always comes back super hard. Okay, let's move on because we are running out of time and I need to get to the word of God. Judge rejects latest stay request from Kentucky Clerk Davis. A federal judge on Wednesday denied Kim Davis a stay of order requiring her office to issue marriage licenses to all eligible couples who want one. The latest setback to the Kentucky County Clerk who went to jail rather than issued licenses to gays. Okay, there's no surprise there. You know why? Because it's demonic. It is very, very demonic, the things that are taking place. And you know what it's meant? These are signs of the time, the end of the age. These are the last days. And we're seeing that there is an attack upon the body of Christ. And so therefore, if you didn't know that they're not gonna be so easy to rule in Christian's favor with regards to anything. The devil he's after the body of Christ. Things are only going to intensify, especially here in the United States, where we have enjoyed many freedoms. They're now being challenged. They're being taken away. If you're on a job and you try to share your faith, or in the military, you try to share your faith, you actually getting punished. You actually getting fired. They call it discriminatory. So just yesterday, I read you an article where a man got fired just for sharing his faith with a lesbian. She considered it discriminatory. Now, mind you, he shared his faith with everyone, but she didn't feel comfortable because he shared his faith or gave her the link to a movie that, he thought would, let her know. It's a movie called Audacity. And this movie is about loving homosexuals, even though you don't condone the act, okay? So it's basically letting them know that God, even though God loves us, he loves us, and he doesn't want us to sin. He loves the sinner and hates the sin. And so, it was a witnessing tool that he wanted to use. He gave her a link. It's a new movie that supposedly had came out this year. And so he told her to check it out. And so this lady was offended. Another lesbian lady, told about the movie. She was offended. And so he got fired from his job that he had been at for over 13 years. And see, the thing is, the devil hates. He hates Jesus. And so therefore, he can't get to Jesus. So, he already tried that, when Jesus was down here on earth. So now he's trying to attack the body of Christ. And that's what's going on. When we're seeing all the attacks that's going on with regards to Christians, don't just look at it as if, oh, it's just something that's happening. No, this is orchestrated because the devil is in it. Okay, I'm going to make a quick mini advertisement commercial. Again, please visit me on my website at www.klrichministries.com. On my website, you can view, listen to previous ministry broadcasts, as well as, purchase books for your entire family. I know that the holiday season is quickly approaching, and if you want your children and yourself to have some books that's you don't have to worry about any garbage in them, that's going to teach you about Christ, about God, about life, please check out my website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. And also, please donate to the furthering of this broadcast at www.klrichministries.com. Click on the donate button and it will take you securely to PayPal. Again, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. All right. We are going on to this article says 7 wicked popes and the terrible things they did. And I'm going to read some of this to you. It says, you may have noticed that Pope Francis is in the United States. The pontiff's arrival in Washington shut down streets, led throngs of adoring crowds, and a giddy reception from President Obama. He is cast by some as a transformational figure of the Holy See and an important moral voice on some of the world's most leading political and social issues. Of course, the 2,000-year history of the Vatican, not all its popes have been as celebrated as righteous. There have been whoremongers, warmongers and usurpers, greedy spendthrifts, and even pontiffs who have been bystanders to genocide. For centuries, the papacy was at the center of European power politics, and those who wore its mantle acted with fitting ruthlessness. Here's a brief sampling of some of the worst popes in history. Pope Alexander VI, a Spanish-born pontiff with the powerful Borgia family, from the powerful Borgia family, Pope Alexander VI was infamous for his libertine behaviors and nepotism. The latter was unsurprising. After all, his uncle was Pope Calixtus III, who had paved the way for Alexander's eventual ascension. Alexander was pope between 1492 and 1503. The intrigues, orgies, and scaldery that took place during his pontificate was enough to lead to a recent Showtime series which revealed the debaucheries and conspiracies of the Borgia family. Suggestions persist to this day that Alexander engaged in incest with his daughter, Lucrezia. When he died, his body rapidly decomposed and bloated, leading to suspicions of poison. Pope Stephen VI, also referred in some sources as Stephen VII, he began his brief tenure as pope in 896 with a grisly spectacle. He had the body of his predecessor, Pope Formosus, dug up and put on trial for blasphemy. What? He had his predecessor's body dug up and put on trial for blasphemy. What kind of nuts? Formosus' real crime had been his allegiance to a different faction in the halls of power. The court was provided with counsel, details one historian account, who wisely remained silent while Pope Stephen raved and screamed his insults at it. The moldering body was then stripped of its sacrament vestments, three fingers on its right hand was hacked off, and was left of the corpse was dragged through the streets of Rome and dumped in the Tiber River. Stephen, though, didn't last long. He was strangled to death by his enemies the following year. Wow, this pope was crazy. So he digs up a body, puts it on trial, take off three of his fingers, take off the whatever clothes or whatever they had on them, drag it through the street. Come on now, this is insanity. Then Pope John the 12th. He was pope from 955 till his apparent untimely death in 964. More about that below, okay. And then it goes on to say it had a further foul reputation. According to the Catholic Encyclopedia, he was a coarse, immoral man whose life was such that the Lateran was spoken of as a brothel, and the moral corruption in Rome became the subject of general odium. He was eventually accused of perjury, simony, selling of ecclesiastical lands and privileges for his own fortune, and other crimes, and was briefly disposed of before sweeping back to power in a bloody purge. John's death was curious. He was apparently killed by a man who had found the Pope in bed with his wife in the midst of committing adultery. What going? You talking about popes, holy fathers? Come on now. Okay, Pope Urban VI. He presided over a major schism in the Roman Catholic Church in 1378, which saw the emergence of parallel feuding papacies that lasted nearly four decades. Urban was supposedly prone to violent outbursts. Later on, he caught wind of a conspiracy to dispose him, and had six cardinals arrested, tortured, and ultimately executed. Legend has it he complained to the torturers that the cardinal's screams were not loud enough. See the Catholic Church got some messed up history. Next, Pope Benedict the Ninth, a remarkably cynical pope. Benedict held the position on three separate occasions in the 11th century. In one instance, he actually resigned and sold the papacy to another priest. Known for his supported licentious behavior, Benedict was described by a later 11th century pope as having a life so foul, that I shudder to think of it. That's deep. Okay, then you have Pope Leo X, a scion of the powerful Medici family of Florence. Leo had his talents and was a patron of the arts, but is remembered most for his lavish spendthrift habits in the years he was pope, between 1513 and 1521. His emptying of the Vatican's coffers led to various measures to create more revenue, which included the sale of indulgence, and in effect guarantees of relief from damnation in the afterlife. So basically, they were in debt, and so in order to make up that debt, they told people that if they pay a certain amount, that they wouldn't go to hell. This practice infuriated a certain German contemporary of Leo, Martin Luther, and planted the seeds of the Protestant Reformation. Okay, and it goes on. We don't have time to read all of this, but it just lets you know that the popes have a very corrupt history. Okay, I'm going to read this and this little bit of this, and then we're going to go to the Word of God. Pope Francis to canonize genocidal monster to push NWO agenda. Francis to make murderer Junipero Serra a saint. We don't have time to go through all of this, and I may try to come back on with this tomorrow. But basically, Pope Francis just made Junipero Serra a saint, and as we know, there's no such thing as Pope being able to make saints. Okay, but this man that they're supposedly made a saint was a murderer. Okay, he was part of the Spanish Inquisition. We don't have time to go through all of that, but people were tortured and different things took place during the Spanish Inquisition. And this pope, he also was into if you saw the Da Vinci Code, one of the priests, he will whip himself. And so he did that to take on the suffering of Christ. And because he felt that his sins were so bad and he had to whip himself. And so therefore he took chains and wore spikes and beat himself. So this is what this pope was into self-mutilation. Okay. So why did Pope Francis canonize this man? And so supposedly some groups, I believe Mexicans, were asking him not to because of what took place with the Spanish Inquisition. And during that time, that was a horrible time when they were accusing people of witchcraft and sending them to their death. And why would the Pope even think to try to canonize this man? It lets you know that this is demonic. Okay, but we're going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to actually probably go back over this tomorrow in more detail, because people really need to understand the deception that is taking place. Rather, it's the Pope. You mean, look at all these people. You had people like Rick Warren and what's his name? Joel Osteen and one of these other men, I can't think his name right now, these money mega pastors, and oh, the Pope, and then, I mean, come on now, this is just a man. There's nothing special about this man, except for his special teas and being demonic, okay? And so, we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 12, and we're going to read in verse 1. We're going to go to verse 1. And it says, "The word of God came to me, son of man. You are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see. Ears to hear, but do not hear. For they are a rebellious people. Therefore, son of man, pack your belongings for exile. and in the daytime as they watch, set out, and go from where you are to another place. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious house. During the daytime while they watch, bring out your belongings, pack for exile. Then in the evening, while they are watching, go out like those who go into exile. See, God was using Ezekiel to show them what was going to happen to them. So, okay, a lot of times people understand with movies. And see, they didn't have televisions and things back then. So God had Ezekiel acting it out. See, they can understand what they're seeing. Sometimes you can tell people things, but they need to actually be able to see it. So therefore, he had Ezekiel acting out what was going to happen to them. While they watch, dig through the wall and take your belongings out through it. Put them on your shoulders as though they are watching and carrying as they are watching, and carry them out at dusk. Cover your face so you cannot see the land, for I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. So I did as I was commanded during the day. I brought out my things packed for exile. Then in the evening I dug through the wall with my hands. I took my belongings out at dusk, carrying them on my shoulders while they watched. In the morning the people of the Lord came to me, son of man, did not that rebellious house of Israel ask you, what are you doing? Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This oracle concerns the prince in Jerusalem and the whole house of Israel who are there. Say to them, I am assigned to you, as I have done, so it will be done to them. They will go into exile as captives. The prince among them will put his things on his shoulder at dusk and leave. And a hole will be dug in the wall for him to go through. He will cover his face so that he cannot see the land. I will spread my net for him, and he will be caught up in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, but he will not be able to see it, and there he will die. I will scatter to the winds all those around him, his staff and all his troops, and I will pursue them with a drawn sword. See, God was time and time again. And when we're reading the book of the prophets, when you're reading Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, I mean, God sent prophet Habakkuk, I mean, prophet after prophet after prophet, warning after warning after warning. And then even go before that, even with the judges, God will raise up a judge, Deborah, and different ones. And as soon as the judge died, Israel go back into rebellion. And then they'll cry out to God when God let them go into captivity. It's like, how many times does it take for you to get it? But then God was still long-suffering with them and still, you know, would hear their cry and still come to their rescue. But then they were still rebellious. They will know that I am the Lord when I dispense them among the nations and scatter them through the countries. But I will spare a few of them from the sword, famine, and plague, so that in the nations where they go, they may acknowledge all their detestable practices. Then they will know I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, tremble as you eat your food and shudder in fear as you drink your water. Say to the people of the land, this is what the sovereign Lord says about those living in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. They will eat their food with anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it because of the violence of all who live there. The inhabiting towns will be laid waste and the land will be desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And see, the thing is, it seemed like Israel never learned until God actually followed through with what he said, you know, his judgments. And they, you know, instead of them repenting, learning from what happened to their ancestors, they always tested God and always lost out because they failed to do what God told them to do. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, what is this proverb you have in the land of Israel? The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to put an end to that proverb, and they will no longer quote it in Israel. Say to them, the days are near, and every vision will be fulfilled. See, they thought, oh, well, you know what? You've been prophesying this, and nothing's happened. You got people like that now. people been prophesying, saying that this is going to happen, saying that that's going to happen, and nothing's happening. And God said, I'm going to put an end to that proverb. And see, they had that back in Ezekiel's time. And they're doing the same thing now. You know, God, people been saying Jesus coming. He ain't coming no time soon. People been saying that the world's going to get messed up. Or the world's going to be bad. Or ain't nothing happening out the usual. We've been saying the same stuff for years. And this is the attitude that people got. For there will be no more false visions or flattering divinations among the people of Israel. But I, the Lord, will speak what I will, and it shall be fulfilled without delay. For in your days, you rebellious house, I will fulfill what I say, declares the sovereign Lord. So God was saying here, it's not going to be another generation that come by. It's going to be in your time that I'm going to fulfill, that you're going to see exactly what's going to happen. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, the house of Israel is saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now, and he prophesies about the distant future. Therefore say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whenever I say will be fulfilled, declares the sovereign Lord. God is long-suffering. God is patient. God doesn't wish for any of us to die and be and suffer judgment. However, many people are going to suffer judgment because they failed to do what God said do. They thought, oh, we don't have to worry about anything. We got all the time in the world. You know, Jesus is not coming back for years from now. Nothing's going to happen to the United States. We'll have to worry about that no time soon. Oh, yeah, people prophesying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Nothing going to happen. See, we all went through September. See, ain't nothing really happened. Nothing major happened. See, there was a whole bunch of just fear-mongering. Nothing's... You know what? It's not about the date. It's about that God said it's going to happen. Things are going to happen. Don't get caught up in the dates. Just know you better be ready. That means prepare your life, because things are going to happen. If you have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. I accept you as the Son of the living God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for all my sins. Have mercy on me. And if you have said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his Son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is just accept the free gift of salvation. Allow him to do a work in you. God bless you. We will be back on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. God bless you. Until next time.